Hans' father was only 57 years old when he died. He died in his arms in this house?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know his mother. I know Hans' mother died in this house too.
Every Sunday.
Master Sergeant Frank Long, Frank C. Long, and I have the picture of his children. I'll try to find them as well. So I have pictures now of the Long children and the Brandis children, and these were his first American families, really. And he learned how to relate to these children, and their names were Amanda,
Peter. And Kathy.
And in one of these photographs, Ann had bought a parakeet, and they're looking at it. That's
that parakeet, I think they hang up upside down.
Yeah. Okay. They hang it upside down.
Yeah. Oh, and when they see it, like that.
Very interesting.
I work at a contact company, accountant. They have the
So I've never seen this photograph. This is a picture. This is Anna's given me a picture from 1949 of the Caltex
oil company
accounting office party, end of the year, and he's in the lower right-hand corner. They're pouring champagne. I've never seen this photograph, and everyone is celebrating. And And this was his first job.
Not to have my family, okay. See the same kind of people again.
Yes, that I have something better.
Maybe I give you this one, so you can keep that one.
I can keep this one?
Yeah.
Okay, Anna's given me a picture of himself in his uniform. What rank are you in this picture? Is this you're a general right here? Okay.
This picture was taken in 19... on the occasion of the 20th anniversary of the Soviet Union liberation.
So it's on the 20th anniversary, which would be April 30th, 1995.
That's 95, October. Yeah.
And at that time, his son is at Duke University Law School, 1995, probably.
95? No, not yet.
Not yet? Well, he went to North Carolina in December of 1990, and he graduated in 93. Right. Okay.
And he went back there in 94.
Right. So he went back in 94.
At Duke University.
So this is 1995. So he would be in the United States.
That's right.
Right. Right. And then he came back here after he graduated from Duke, but then he went back to North Carolina to be sworn into the bar, and he was witnessed by Miss Kaiser and also by Jay, the brother-in-law. Yeah. Right.
He loved them like his own family, his own house.
I saw a picture the other day. I went on the internet of Miss Kaiser when she was a movie star. Very pretty, gorgeous, and her husband was such a very famous band leader. Yeah.
I think that's you, Aaron Apple. Have plenty of testing
up. Unless you have any letters or anything that no more. But take your time.
I'm tired.
Oh, okay.
That's the problem.
Who taught you English? How did you learn English the first time?
First time in Taiwan is from Mr. Webster.
Mr. Webster?
Webster at the British Embassy.
Mr. Webster at the British Embassy.
And when he left, he introduced Mr. Nguyen.
Mr.
Nguyen. N-E-W-A-L-L.
N-E-W-A-L-L. Mr. Nguyen. And this is the picture. And this is, so.
It's the same picture. And the garden.
And this is the man who, Mr. Newell, who taught on English after Mr. Webster in the British. And this is important for me because I have read in two places that An was first taught English by By missionaries or...
That's in Kanta 45, long time, under Japanese occupation.
Okay, so during the Japanese occupation, missionaries were the first to teach him English.
He was a Buddhist course.
It was his name?
The course, English course.
Oh, an English course. Oh, so An took an English course from the missionaries.
Taught you the Buddhist course.
Okay. And then he followed that up with Webster and Newell here in Saigon.
And then after that, USIS.
And the missionaries were where? The missionaries were in, did you say Wei? In Kanta, that's where you learned it. And then you kept practicing it with the Brandes family, with and everybody.
In the army.
And the army.
In the army.
Okay.
And it cut your mouth too.
What is this picture? Who is that? Is that you?
I taught son of my friend, you know, how to do the yoga, etc.
This is a picture of An in his sneakers. Very American, enough that he has not been to America yet, showing his muscles. This is a fantastic photograph. And yes. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Can I take a picture of this?
Yeah.
Oh, this is Jerry Hickey's card from Rand, his good friend. An has told me many times that if Jerry Hickey understood, and if only people had listened to Jerry Hickey, the big war could have been averted, right? Yeah.
I saw the first Uncle Win and then Mr. John Donnell also there in 1940, when they come in 1960. 59, when I returned from the U.S. there. 60, early 60, I saw them.
So that's
Uncle Win near Saigon here.
So An took Hickey and John Gunnell up to the first Agraville in 1959 or 1960. Tien told him to do it, but this is important for me to know because John Gunnell, his papers are at Texas Tech University, and I think I'll go take a look at that.
Yeah. Vietnamese and Chinese too.
Is he alive still, do you know?
I guess so.
Yeah.
After that he worked for Simon Mathis.
Yeah. But I go see his papers are in Texas Tech, so I go see, maybe I find something about you in there. Okay, I write this down also.
Jerry Rose, I interviewed work for him.
I also work for Jerry Rose, the Saturday Evening Post.
Stanley Karnow?
This is Stanley Karnow's card. This is when he was in Hong Kong. And no email, but cables. Stan Carr. Yes, okay. Shig Aka.
This one is Vietnamese. When I refused to work for the Asia Foundation, he worked. But after he quit, he worked for VOA until he retired.
So this would have been after you refused to work for the Asia Foundation in 1959, so this would have been after 1959?
No, it was when I quit Reuters.
Oh, when you quit Reuters. That would be 1964, right after the coup, failed coup, yeah.
So I preferred to work for many years.
You had many offers after. You could have worked for the
Chinese.
Yes, Special Forces also.
Special Office.
And you also told me the Chinese recruited you. Everyone wanted you.
Yeah, everyone wanted me to work for it. And they pay me too.
Who, Mr. Albert Croft, who is that?
He worked at the embassy.
Okay, communications. Ah, Warren Una, okay.
Yeah, he was introduced to me by the C.K. McClatchy, the nephew of Miss McClatchy.
Right, McClatchy, that's right, and I have that story, yes. Warren Una was the nephew of the McClatchy, right.
Both of them died already.
Right. But I write down this information, okay.
You know David Engel?
Yes, yes.
He speaks Vietnamese very well. see one or two interpreters at a Paris conference in 1958. The other one is Mr. Negroponte, and he is David Engel.
This was when the David Engel and John Negroponte were the two interpreters for when the peace talks started in 1968. Right.
I was introduced to them by the Mr. Chief Mr. Crozier, who replaced Mr. George Fleck at our FBIS.
Did you know John Negroponte then? Did you know John Negroponte?
He was young at that time.
Yes, yeah, but you knew him.
I don't know him personally.
Right.
You know, we meet that very often at some reception. Even he come to the Vietnamese assembly to see how chief of police, General Nguyen, drinking beer, looking at the deputy, what they say, etc.
Today he is the most powerful.
Yeah.
Oh man, yes, the spy czar, yes, the intelligence.
He was young, very handsome.
He was the one who also, as you know.
Yeah, with the Iran, Bolivia North, football, etc.
Yes.
Yeah, about it.
Wai Quan Co. So An is now sharing his business card.
This one is very important.
The person who's important is it G. Chul Ree, R-H-E-E.
Korean intelligence.
Ah, Mr. Douglas Pike, my friend. Center, and he writes in the back, Center for International Studies at MIT. Doug Pike understood the Vietnamese conflict better than anybody. David Fisher. Mark Mancall, History Department at Harvard.
This is my military driving license.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The one thing you mentioned that in his book, as the cover of his book.
That's the one on the cover, okay, yeah. As soon as I see it, I'll let you know if that's exactly what I saw. My French is okay, so I read the book, but...
very difficult to understand.
One of my students is translating it for me from French to English, a perfect translation.
Someone should be very good in order to understand.
Right. Well, I know so much already that I understand some of what I read, but...
Well, I don't know how to open. My hand is trembling.
Why is it trembling today? Just...
I take too much oxygen.
Too much oxygen. Yes, there it is, yeah. Maybe I take a photograph of this, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is 1946. I have to pay the personal tax. It's all right. And then they capture you as a, to do the record of the because you know everybody has to pay tax.
Yes.
Those who cannot have enough money, they have to work as the what a cockway. I mean labor without like a forced labor for a certain day, etc. 1946.
Huh.
This is the tax. You call it personal tax.
That's the tax.
Like you tax the animal, etc.
And
the peasant should pay it, and then.
And that's the proof that you have paid your taxes. Is that it?
Because if you have no job, you have to. You don't have a picture. You have your fingerprint.
What year was this?
46.
So the French did this.
Oh yeah. Oh, Vietnamese working for the French.
Yeah.
That's the old system.
Yeah, colonialism, yeah.
America and the French are returning and they use the same system again. Yes. How much money you have to pay if they receive your pay. And with that one, when the police stop you, check whether you sold the labor charge or such, and that's all right.
My gosh, I never... So you would carry, you would have to always carry this, and if you were stopped by the French police, or the Vietnamese, no, French police.
Like if any car.
Yeah. And if you hadn't paid your taxes, your tax, they would take you away and put you in jail or something, or?
No, they forced you to pay taxes.
Right there.
Because you had to do as a forced labor. Forced labor man for 10 days or 1 week or something like that.
Pham Swan An, there it is. Can I photograph this? Is that okay?
Yeah. And after that, when you see it, I had to go to the security. You got this one. I saw you already.
This one I saw, I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's why when, before going to the US, the American just go to the church to have all these documents to check. That's very simple. See it? Because I'm quoting Chinese, born in the South, so consider as a colonialist, consider me as the subject of French. But not near me, even they come to the South, some place they have to stop without any paper, they were not allowed to come to the South. See?
Yes. And let me photograph that too. I don't have a copy of this. You showed this to me, but I didn't make a copy.
I showed it to you already.
Yes, but I didn't, I have only a very bad photograph. No, I don't have a photograph. You know what I have? I have a, I'll show you what I have here. Here, this is much better. All I have is that. So what I'll do is, I just made a Xerox copy, but now on my camera, I can take a picture. So I only have...
No, no, that one is very important.
No, you see, these are no good. This is all I have. You see, that's no good. So what, this is just a photo. This is a Xerox machine. But now I can take a picture. No, I won't lose anything. I will bring it right back tomorrow.
Another one. You try to show it to San Jose.
Yeah.
To find my friend. I hope she's still alive and her family. Read behind it.
Merry Christmas. Dear Ron, I was very happy when Mom and Dad told me they had heard from you last year. Who is this?
Julie Coleman.
Coleman, Julie Coleman.
Coleman is the vice president of Warner Brother. He has three children, me working with him at the studio. And his two daughters, Judy and then Melinda. Judy was at that time about 20, and Melinda was 16 to 14, something like that.
So now this is Bill Coleman. This is the Coleman...
Coleman, Jude Coleman.
K-O-H-L...
No, C-O-L-E-M-A-N.
Okay, Coleman. And how did you know Coleman?
Because he was in the same class with me.
Okay.
A photographer.
In Orange Coast Community College.
Orange Coast College. So I went invited to their house to have lunch with them. They have beautiful house. All kind of Hollywood men come to see him. For instance, Stewart, and then Jean Gabin, James Cagney. And then he also invited me to stay for 6 months. And then Mr. The one who wrote a very Alfred Hitchcock to teach me how to write suspense. I had to go home. I have no money.
What year was this card, this Christmas card sent?
58.
So let me make sure I understand this. In one of your classmates at Orange Coast Community College was a woman whose name was
a girl.
Her name was Coleman, his last name. Her first name is...
Judy.
Yeah. And Judy Coleman's father was the president of...
Vice president
of Warner Brothers, you said?
That's
of
right.
Warner Brothers. And so this...
In California.
And Ann went to their house and everything else, knew the family. And then she wrote this card in 1958 that says, Dear Ann, I was so very happy when Mom and Dad told me they had heard from you last year. That means that... you got in touch with Mr. Coleman.
Yeah, I invited her to the dance, the homecoming dance.
You invited her?
Yeah, and she agreed, and I come to her house. She didn't know together, but to pick her up. And then I went into the house to see her parents. And then I asked authorization to take their daughter out for dance at the school.
Yes.
Homecoming dance.
And they agreed.
And they agreed, and then they said, you just she agrees, all right. I promised I would bring her back before midnight. And I did. I said, no, you don't have to do it. I said, no, give me way. We have to do it. So I brought her back before midnight.
Now, this is a very important story that I never heard, and very interesting. So you, this would be in 1958, after 1 year,
I became sophomore before I was freshman.
Right, and so as a sophomore, you went... In the fall of 1958, well, you were probably the second page editor by then of the newspaper, but you invited Judith Coleman to go to the homecoming dance as your date.
We worked together.
Right. Right, I understand. And so you had to ask her parents' permission. And at that time, her father was the vice president of Warner Brothers. And so you went to their home.
Yeah. They have a big swimming pool.
Big swimming pool. Yeah. No, where do they live?
I went to swim.
Beverly Hills or? No.
No, the clip of the, where I parked the car. You saw the car?
Yes. I bet you...
Look at the Katina Island to see the sun setting.
I bet you that...
they are very rich people.
But I wonder if... what's his name? The man who I brought the pictures of.
Bruce Knott.
I wonder if Bruce Knott knows them.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so
let me.
The trust is here.
Yes. Okay. And let me take a photograph of this.
Yeah. Yeah. The trust is because she lived. She went to school in San Jose.
Well, after she graduated OCC.
No, she went there and she needs one chapter, one semester, in or in course. Going to her house to pick up some unit or something like that, and then go back again to San Jose.
So why didn't you ask Lee Major to go to the dance with you? Because she had already... Lee? Why didn't you ask Lee to go?
Go where?
To the homecoming. You could... Why didn't you ask Lee?
Oh, she didn't like dancing or anything.
Okay, all right. Oh, okay.
And it's a sport and everything. She was a teacher of sport.
Okay.
Small but very good. They took me to the zoo, to the Disneyland, and put me in the cup, and they want me to try the roaster. How do you call it? The roaster is at that time. You go up.
Roller coaster.
I was so afraid. She said, "Oh, you are."
But you also rode a gondola in Lake Tahoe. A gondola, I remember.
No,
I put
Disneyland
that.
That time was open in 1955.
Yes.
First time, 55, so we went there, 58.
Now, this letter, though, I don't think this letter was written in 58, because she already has children now. When was this letter?
Yeah, he had many children.
So when was this letter written?
They had a date yet.
No date, okay.
This one, too. This one will come first. This one come later.
Vic and Judy, they live on a 250-acre ranch. They must be very rich, yeah.
Oh, very rich.
Dear Ann, look at this. This is beautiful. A lot has happened since last year in both of our lives. I have been married, and you are in the midst of war. Very sensitive. I am living in a ranch, and this is one of our bulls. We are mainly a cattle ranch. I'm not teaching this year, but I hope to next year. Judy Coleman. Love, Judy Coleman. And she probably has a different last name now because she got married.
She got married, so she had a new name.
Let me
trust her.
Okay, I write this down, and find them for you. I find them, and when I come back in October, I will carry a letter from them, I promise.
Yeah,
okay?
You should find them. I hope she's still alive. She's now at least 70 now.
Right.
69, I think. Or at least they're children.
I find them. Yes.
Not difficult to find.
No, I never heard her name before, so this is good. I find it.
But this one, I'm reluctant to give to you because many leaders there want to take picture together with me at the same day. I gave the other one.
Who is that?
Woman Kiet.
Oh, okay.
He's the one who gave me the his best listen officer, the lady, now 90-year-old lady.
Okay, well, George.
Just to let you look at it.
Let me look at it. Can I look at it? Your hat is not on straight.
This one is not good.
You don't look as good in that.
Better.
Yeah.
So you better keep the other one.
And
all kind of stuff.
Do you still, do you don't, what do you do with all your medals?
This
you
just put them? National hero is here.
National hero?
And then the other one is a replacement. It's a Ho Chi Minh first, and then a national hero. And the other is kind of how do you call it? The value of the competition of the
valor or bravery?
Bravery and everything.
Well, you keep these, you keep them in a drawer, or you give them away already?
I give it to that one, to the, that's enough for you.
Okay. All right. Oh, Laura Palmer?
Yeah, that's different. This is,
not? I'm going to speak to Laura Palmer.
She's very nice.
Yeah. I think I have a picture you gave me of her and her daughter.
Yeah, that's right.
Is that a letter from her?
Oh, maybe a letter from her before. This is a picture of her and her daughter.
Right, that's the one I have, yeah. That's the one I made a copy of. Who did she work for when she was here, Laura Palmer? Who did she work for?
Oh, she worked for a different place, like Pai Pai Gin too. I met her bureau chief during the absence of the other. They want me to be bureau chief. I said, no, I wish to have you as bureau chief. I work for you. And she liked
it. This is a holiday card from Lee. Dear Aunt, hope that the past year has been a pleasant one for you. I would like to hear what you have been doing. How are you? I am still in school writing a master's thesis. Guess that I'll be through in June of 62, so she's still, this is probably 1961. I have still not had a chance to travel. I certainly haven't been abroad. Perhaps I will be able to do so when I finish school. As always, best wishes from Lee. That's very nice.
You were sent to me in 1963, I think.
No, it can't be 63, because she says here she'll be done in 62.
Oh, it should be 62.
61.
Stamp.
No, the stamp is 61. I read it.
Yeah.
It looks like it's, yes, 1961 is the stamp. And the address on the back, yeah.
Too bad. She died.
Can
I
show
you the...
Make a copy of this?
Yeah.
Yeah. You showed me the email from her. Yes, you told me I could read that. Yes, I read it, yeah. Well, plus the dying of Lou Gehrig's disease is terrible. Very bad disease, Lou Gehrig. You know, what she died of is
she
a very...
Kind of, she lost her voice. We call it...
Lou Gehrig's disease.
Lou
very bad. It's, you know, you lose control of all your muscles and your...
Yeah, she can't do it. That's what she tried totally, but therefore she couldn't do it. And my son did it. She told me that your son is very patient.
Yeah. Well... But it's not just your voice. You lose control of all your muscles, everything.
I never believed that she would have a very unhappy life like this.
Well, plus the
only one daughter, all the family
yeah.
Is well to do. I thought they have a house at the big area in the Newport Beach.
Did you ever tell her how you felt?
She could smell it.
She could smell it.
I took her out, you know, to watch, etc. I drove her out to Uruguay, near Uruguay, etc. And then traveled. And she invited me to her house. And then Dominique took me to the house.
And you met her parents, I know, and her parents
after that night, she took me back because Dominique, he left her he stayed in the dormitory. So he haircut me, very bad haircut, making me look very ridiculous. I didn't have the car. So she said, all right, anyone at the dormitory can take me to the house at that time at the Garden Grove to have dinner with her and her parents.
In Garden Grove, then, yeah.
And then after that, she would take me home. She took me on the way to back to the college. And then before the fall, she couldn't see it. Very difficult, very dangerous to drive in the fall. So I said, all right, I will go down and I walk so you have the light on my body and then follow it. And then when you pass over the fall area, and then go back. That's why she mentioned.
She mentioned that in the letter, yes, yes.
She remembers very clearly about that one.
I put that in my book, yeah. I mentioned that you got out of the car in the fog to lead the way, and she thought that you were a very mature man living with immature boys, you know, because you were older.
I learned a lot from this boy.
Oh, yes.
That's why I learned it from...